Our lesson assignment tonight is trying to put Jesus Christ all together in a small package so that we can all understand it. If that assignment was given to you, how would you do it and how would you go about it? If someone said to you, "Can you really tell me about Jesus, what he means to you, and put it in a small sentence?" What would you say? Well, I think that we'd think, well, that'll be a little bit of a problem. Well, that's exactly what John the Revelator did in the book of Revelation. That's what the Holy Spirit inspired him to do. If you're looking at the Bible and you want to look at it, the text, it's Revelation 1 in verse 8, 21 in verse 6, he repeats it again. In 22 and 13, he repeats it again. Three times over in the closing book of the Bible, when he's trying to sum up everything about Jesus Christ, the conqueror renowned, the one that's going to triumph over all things and welcome us into heaven one of these days and say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." He says he's the Alpha and he's the Omega. He is the beginning. He is the end. He is from everlasting to everlasting. Now, in all of my studies of the Bible, you might think differently in your studies, but in all of my studies of the Bible, of all the metaphors used for Jesus Christ, this seems to me like it rises to the very summit, to the very pinnacle of thought, of trying to express Jesus and all the facets in which he can work and accomplish things. It's really mind-boggling in content, and we really can't comprehend the fullest extent of it all, because no one can comprehend God and Jesus Christ to the fullest. But the Holy Spirit is trying to convey as much as possibly we can understand how that can be done. He's trying to tell us the vast, unlimited, all-sufficiency of Jesus our Lord, that he's from everlasting to everlasting, and in a way that you can understand it. So he says, he's like this, something that you're all acquainted with, the Alpha and Omega. Translated that into English, that simply, he's the A and the Z to Christians today. By using this expression, John is emphasizing the unending spectrum of the universality of Jesus Christ. And poets have written about that, and we sing about it. Some folks may ask you, some folks may say, "Who is this Jesus we talk about every day? He is my everything. He is my all. He is my everything, both great and small. He gave his life for me, made everything new. He is my everything. Now how about you?" Now that's wrapped up in trying to express what Jesus is to someone in a hymn. And John did that many years ago by saying he's like the alphabet. The Holy Spirit influenced John the Revelator to picture Jesus using the most wonderful instrument in the universe, the alphabet, because the alphabet is inexhaustible. The greatest essayist and the philosophers that's ever lived and ever picked up a pen has written it in the letters of the alphabet. 26 letters in English when they're writing in English. And it doesn't make any difference how vast the library is. I visited a library one time, St. Louis, Missouri, covered the whole block down there. Besides that, it was many stories high, books upon books upon books, and you had to watch the signs to keep from getting lost. Volumes on top of volumes in there. And every last volume is written in 26 letters. So all of the vast knowledge, the treasure of the universe that's contained today in education, is confined to 26 letters. And the key to that is, if you don't know the alphabet, this is all locked out to you. You don't know it. You can't read it. The same thing is true. Jesus Christ is the Alpha and Omega. He is the key then to the knowledge of God. He is the key to the knowledge of salvation in all things. And if you do not know Jesus Christ, you don't have the key to knowledge. And I think that's the vast thing that's wrong with the world today. No matter how vast the library is, if you don't know the alphabet, you're robbed of your education. And if you don't know Jesus Christ, you're robbed of salvation. We might take it a step further and say, like the alphabet, Jesus is not only saying that he is inexhaustible, but Jesus Christ is saying that he is the epitome of holiness. This is very characteristic of him. None convicted him of sin. Those things that about him are inexhaustible in his character is love. His love is inexhaustible. Jesus' sacrifice is inexhaustible. When I think about the sacrifice being inexhaustible, I think that of the scripture that he said, "Whosoever believeth in him shall not be put to shame." In the New Testament, we're told that God is no respecter of persons. He tells us in Acts, the 17th chapter, he's made of one blood all the nations of the earth. And his love is so encompassing to take all, every single one in, and that should make you feel important because you're included in that. In fact, in trying to tell us of his inexhaustibility and the fact that he's no respecter of persons and that you and I are included in all of this, the psalmist had this thought many years ago in Psalms 139. Listen to him very carefully. "O Lord, thou hast searched me and you have known me." I'd like to say there's not a thing about you that God doesn't know, that Jesus doesn't know in being this Alpha and Omega. He continues in saying, "You know my downsitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts from afar off." You don't have to be standing next to me to know me. You can be somewhere else and you can still understand me. "Thou compass my path and my lying down. Thou art acquainted with all of my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue. But lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it." But he's the Alpha and the Omega in the Holy Spiritual language to you and me. And that covers all of that. "If I ascend up into heaven, lo, he's there. And if I make my bed in hell, behold, he's there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall my hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light before thee. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth in the day, and the darkness and the light are both just alike unto thee." He is the Alpha and Omega of all things. There is not a movement that's made that God doesn't know about it. And as bad a shape as this world is in, as it's ever been, God knows what's going on. He's always in control. As the psalmist says, he rides abreast of the flood. And he continues and says, "God, you have possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me with in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, that thy soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth," which is, of course, the conception that takes place to give baby a birth. "How precious also are thy thoughts unto me. O God, how great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. And when I wake, I am still with thee." And yet the Holy Spirit says, here it is in a nutshell. He is the Alpha and the Omega. Just like all knowledge of the world can be contained in 26 letters from A to Z, Jesus Christ is that to the individual. He's not only saying that, but he's saying that to Zacchaeus in the very beginning, he was the Alpha and the Omega to Zacchaeus when he came to the streets of Jericho. Jericho had heard about him. He was a very small man, climbed up in a tree, and the little children sing about that. And when Jesus came, he said, "Zacchaeus, come down. I'm going to come home with you. I'm going to dine with you." And this man that was an exceeding thief and sinner had salvation come to his house that day, and it changed his life forever. And there's Peter that we can identify with. Peter, the penitent denier of Jesus Christ, the Alpha and Omega, Alpha and Omega, and patience, patience, patience. For Peter denied in here, but he also had sinned on several occasions. And surely we fit into that. Thank God. We say, well, he knows that like the back of his hand. The Holy Spirit said it's like A to Z. This elevates Jesus to the pinnacle of all history. He was the Alpha and Omega to Mark the deserter. And Mark was so turned around that he finally wrote one of the greatest gospels that we have in the New Testament. And yet he deserted on one occasion. None other in all of history can ever say seriously to the human race, to you individually, I am to you, to the whole universe, from A to Z. That pretty well covers everything, doesn't it? When he says he's an Alpha and Omega, the A to Z in the English language, he means this is his unending, his all-inclusiveness, his inexhaustibility, his unending love, his inexhaustible grace, his omnipotent power, his indestructible kingdom. And as the Bible says, when you think about that, Colossians 2:10, you are complete in him. Without him, what is it the song says? I can do nothing. Without him, I can do nothing. Because that's based upon John 15, where Jesus says, I am the vine and your branches bear precious fruit for Jesus today. We sing that too. But he says, without me, you can do nothing. Now you think what the world would be without the alphabet. Suppose you'd erase all the alphabet, all the learning from the world. We would swiftly go back to way even beyond the Dark Ages. We would go back to maybe the dinosaurs or somewhere. But think, we would be almost in complete darkness. So Jesus is this enlightening alphabet to the world of only 26 letters that comes and the sun opens up and shines. And all of the light of God in heaven that is portrayed to you and me is between Alpha and Omega. And somewhere you are in between that A and Z. And he knows exactly where you are. And when he says, whosoever believeth in me shall not be put to shame, he didn't mean, well, I'll go with you through S or T and then drop you off. But you are complete in Jesus Christ, and he goes with you all the way from A to Z. From the time that you're born again, become a believer in Jesus Christ and give your life to him. If you're willing, of course, to be the one who hungers and thirsts after truth, you shall be filled. And you'll not come to a single time where he says, where you would say, he let me down here. I have read a lot about some of the big name atheists like Ingersoll and Voltaire and those. Did you know they gave their life to denying God and denying Jesus Christ in mockery? But there's one thing that some of them did, you know, when they came to the end of the way, they showed they doubted what they'd been saying all their life, by saying, oh God, if there is a God, have mercy upon my soul if I have a soul. All of my years of experience and all of my study, I've known of many Christians to drop by the wayside and quit. Hymenaeus and Alexander did that, and Demas did that in the Bible, and we've had thousands of them since that time. I've never read and I've never been at the bedside of a single person who said, you know, preacher, I became a Christian 30, 40, 50 years ago, and I'm sorry I did. I've never had a person to say to me in those final breathing moments, I'm ashamed of Jesus. I wish I hadn't done it. It's all really a fairy tale. And yet it's happened with the atheist. It's happened on the other side of the fence. And I think we ought to take notice of the great difference there that we're talking about. Then the application of A to Z is true, of course, in so many ways. Jesus is saying, I am indispensable. Without the alphabet, as we have just seen, the world would regress into the dark ages. But it's not only talking about the past. Alpha and Omega, as applied to the world, means the march of history into the future. When we read, and just before he said he is the Alpha and Omega, he was talking about Jesus Christ being ruler over all the kings of the earth, and nations shall rise and fall. But not Jesus Christ. Look at the heavens. Look at the stars. Look at the earth. It'll all pass away, but my word will not pass away. And all of his word is contained in the alphabet. It's true in present, it's true in application to the present as well as the future. And this is what really we need to concentrate upon, because God in the past is great and God in the future is wonderful. But where the real strength and comfort of our heart and spirit and our faith is now, present now. That God is not off on a picnic someplace. He's not way off over yonder in the wild blue someplace. But he's ever present. When he comes to being with me, he's right here between the A and the Z. And that's the promise that he gave us. Now, every promise of God Almighty concerning Jesus Christ and the coming of the kingdom in the Old Testament were fulfilled, and we know they were. It's historic. It's facts as hard as nails that they were fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Now, this Jesus Christ says, I will be with you always, even to the end of the world. Now, either that's true or it's not true. But what we have to go on is not just Jesus' word, but all of the fulfillment of prophecy and history pointing to Jesus and coming in it being fulfilled. And if God has always kept his word, and the Hebrew writer in chapter 6 says it's impossible for him to lie. And Jesus says, I'll be with you always, even to the end of the earth. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning when you become a Christian. In fact, we could go back to that. The psalmist goes clear back to the womb when you were formed. But as far as we Christians are concerned, he was there when you were not only created, but he was there when you were recreated. And that's what he's talking about in 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, the King James Version says. The Greek there and some of the other versions say, you are a new creation. Because the spirit inside has been ruined and now it's been made new again. He's made everything new. Well, it's true in application then to the present and the future. But also it's true, the alphabet symbolizes the adaptability of Jesus. Inexhaustible, and inclusive, indispensable, universal, and universally, we might say, adaptable. There's nothing more adaptable than the alphabet. Millions of different personalities have used it. There is nothing so different as Christianity and Islam. But those things that are poles apart in all the world can be written into the alphabet. Well, the poet takes 26 letters, A to Z, to write a beautiful hymn. And a lot of hymn has been written about the love of God and as he knows you and as he knows me. And I think I've even quoted it in this pulpit before, but I want to do it again. I remember my dad had so many stories he loved to tell, and he'd tell them over and over. And I remember my sister saying to him one day, well, Dad, she was older than me, and she could get by with more than I could. She said, Dad, you told that before. says, I don't care, I'm going to tell it again. And he'd tell it, and we had to sit there and listen to it again, though we knew it as well as him. But here is one that'll never grow old. We sing about that, we'll never grow old over there, but there's some things here to long-term Christians that never grow old. And here it is, talking about the inexhaustible, the universal adaptable love of God. Could we, with ink, the ocean fill? I bet you could finish it, couldn't you? And were the skies of parchment made, where every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though it stretched from sky to sky. Yet as vast as that is, it's contained in 26 letters, A to Z, the alphabet. Well, at least, Jesus saying that I'm all there ever was, I'm all there ever is today, and I'm all there ever will be in the future. He was here in the creation, he's here in your recreation, and he will also be here, according to Peter in 2 Peter 3, in the dissolvement of all things. When one day the angel Gabriel shall descend with a shout and with the trumpet playing, and the Bible says, and all the heavens shall roll away as a scroll, and the earth is going to melt with fervent heat. God is in control. And according to the New Testament, we'll all be caught up. We won't have to suffer that. We'll all be caught up to be together with him. I don't believe all of this stuff for 7 years, rapture and all of this. I think that's a figment of somebody's imagination that has attracted a lot of attention to some people. But when it's over, what is it? When it's over, it's over. God help us to have the strength and services like this to lift our hearts up so that whether he comes and does that in our lifetime, or we have to say one time, at the moment that's coming, Lord, into thy hands I commend my spirit, that we will have that hope generated and enforced, which has come from services like this. Amen and amen. Therefore, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is. As we close tonight, the invitation again is from the widespread arms of Jesus Christ. Can you see him on the cross with his arms spread out and nailed? Well, just think, Alpha and Omega that stretches around the whole world. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And that's far more than thinking or saying, well, I believe a man like that lived. You may believe there's a doctor in town, but if you don't believe in him, you will not take his medicine. If you do not believe in Jesus Christ, you will continue to exclude yourself from the teachings here in this book. But the invitation is to you to embrace that, because that's where hope is. There is no hope anywhere else. Without Jesus Christ, Paul said to the Ephesians, you are without God and without hope in this world. And we know that in our heart, don't we? You don't want to go to the grave like that. I certainly don't. So in Jesus Christ, you're made perfect. The invitation is, if you'd believe and be baptized, or if you've erred from the faith, think, you've erred from hope. If you'd just please come back and let him be your all in all, your Alpha and your Omega. Amen and amen. As together we stand and sing.